we talk about metrics, and what I'm really proud about Kumu is this whole metric that we're internally calling Mahal. And really the fact that, I mean, it is kind of funny that Mahal means love and expensive, but the underlying, again, implication there is that
Kumusta? Welcome to Kumu Kwentuhan, the podcast where we talk about the adventures and misadventures of building a tech and media startup in the Philippines. Kumu is a live stream powered social networking platform for Filipinos by Filipinos. With millions of users all around the globe, the app has become a vibrant space where individuals can earn, connect, create, and be their authentic self. As Kumu continues to grow, new avenues emerge in the digital space, opening more opportunities to discover talent, deliver entertainment, promote brands, and even venture into e-commerce. In a company as dynamic as Kumu, you encounter something new and exciting every day. Get a sneak peek into that world by hearing the stories of people behind the scenes. From the ups and downs to the wins and losses, you're sure to walk away learning something new. Tara na, magkuntuhan na tayo.
Hey listeners, thanks for tuning in to Kumu Kwentuhan. My name is Selena De Dios, and I will be your host for this segment. Last week, we talked about how Kumu has promoted diversity, inclusivity, and authenticity on the app and within the organization to make sure it is a safe space for all. Tonight, we're capping off our second season by talking about what Kumu has in store for the future. So it will be a cliffhanger of sorts, and hopefully it will leave you wanting to download the app and join in on the excitement if you haven't already. We have here with us Roland and Rexy, but we also welcome...
What?
We also welcome Sambi, Marielle, and Dana for the first time. So maybe you can all introduce yourself, your role in Kumu, and how you got started with the company.
Hi, everybody. Sambi here. So right now, I'm the Senior Vice President for Commerce here at Kumu, and I'm pretty excited to be on my first ever Kumu podcast. So in terms of my role in Kumu, I basically oversee everything that happens on our commerce engine, on our shop tab. So these are our homegrown shopping shows or shoptertainment shows, such as Shop Kumu with Danny Barreto, Cess Jalon's shopping show, as well as Carlito's Corner with our homegrown hosts. Yeah, so I spent the last 7 years in the whole startup ecosystem, starting with my experience with Guava Pass. That was my first ever startup that I launched here in the Philippines. Later on, Guava Pass was acquired by unicorn startup ClassPass from the US, and I relaunched again my second startup in the Philippine market. Due to COVID, Kumu was a huge opportunity that it just showed so much promise, and I was just so entertained and so interested by this amazing, like, it was just blowing my mind that this live stream platform was capturing the hearts of Filipinos all over the world. And, you know, having come from a very, I guess, international sphere of kind of a startup environment, you know, just the thought of localizing and having our own kind of Silicon ecosystem in the Philippines run by local talent was definitely something that really, I guess, fueled my drive to join this team. And of course, when I met Rexy and Roland, and just to hear from them and just share the same passions with the whole, I guess, with our experiences in the whole startup environment and just kind of scaling everything. I feel like it was a match made in heaven, because when I met you guys for the first time, I guess like my first impression was that you were totally like the Avengers, as you guys said, like in your story, right? You're the Avengers of kind of just collecting all the different Filipino talent. And we have such amazing talent globally in the tech scene. And to see you guys just rallying the Philippine flag around that was really inspiring. So yeah, here I am.
Yeah, she's like a Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, it's a really apt metaphor, actually. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, there's really so many superheroes on the team. But maybe we can hear from Marielle next.
Okay, hey guys, so I'm Marielle. So right now I'm the director of live events at Kumu. So basically live events will be hosting all our ticketed events and shows and concerts. So I hope you guys watch out for our events for 2021. It's going to be an exciting year, definitely. How I got here, well, Zambi got me here. I've been working with her for the past 6 years now. I was basically her partner in GuavaPass and ClassPass and basically running that in the Philippines. And prior to that, I was already in several other startup companies such as Foodpanda. So I've been in the startup scene for a while now. And Zambi was just really, really passionate about telling me about her job and her role and her team. And the moment this opportunity came up, you know, I just knew I had to check it out. And I fell in love with the company and with the team. And it's been a great 1 month already. And it's so fast, but it's so fun. And I'm learning a lot. So yeah, I'll pass it on to Dana.
Thanks, Marielle. Hey, guys, I'm Dana. We were all just joking before Roland and Rixie joined how we're all from Ateneo. So I guess that's how we all
met. Yeah.
But after Ateneo, I was in Zalora for 3 years. And then in 2018, moved to San Francisco. Initially, I worked at this sort of Uber for blue-collared staffing company and their strategy team. And then after that, I was most recently at Instacart, the grocery delivery unicorn in the US. And then I guess I'm similar to Zambi. I was like, I always kind of knew, even though I was away, that I wanted to come back to Asia. And so when I started looking around, I was introduced to my friend who at the time was working at Open Space. And then that's how I got introduced to Rex and Roland. I guess it was last year now, or early this year, actually. And then made my way back here. So at Kumu, I'm on the strategy team and also helping out with product operations.
Yeah, it was a long, I think it's the longest courting process on record so far for Kumu.
How long was that conversation? I mean, we were talking to you at more than a year for sure.
I think we first met like January or 2020. So it was about that long, yeah.
And I think it would have been longer if it weren't for the fact that what happened? You got stuck here. And then, or you came back here and then you got stuck here. And then they wanted you to get unstuck and back to San Francisco. And it was just kind of like the do it now or never kind of moment, I guess.
Yeah, let's call it fate. So
and Dana playing hard to get just for fate to decide at the end. So but there's so much to unpack there. But I guess the common thread is that all of you have had vast experience in startups and have thrived in that kind of culture. That's obviously really fitting because in the past episodes, it's kind of been evident that the fact that Kumu is a startup has also opened doors for them because there are so many possibilities when you're kind of building a company from scratch. And also in terms of the startup scene, you know, the Philippines is an emerging market, so who knows where else that can take Kumu. But, you know, for Roland and Rexy to see that vision early on and to share that same passion with everyone else in this call is exciting because there's no doubt that this enthusiasm and dedication that everyone has can really take Kumu further. But, you know, before we break down the various plans and projects on the horizon, maybe we can set the stage first. You know, with the revamping of e-commerce and then the addition of live events and strategies, what were the kind of patterns and trends besides COVID-19 that kind of urged you to shift your attention towards these things?
Yeah, so one of the greatest things, it was actually, so we learned our growth strategy, a lot of it actually, from a program called Reforge. And there was an article about this whole concept of adjacent user and how Instagram was able to grow from 400 monthly active users to over a billion monthly active users. And to our delight, you know, Rexy had discovered a young woman. Her name is Crystal Wajaja, the former head of growth and business intelligence at Gojek, you know, the $10 billion app in Indonesia. And when we had reached out to her for a consulting session around our growth strategy, we actually found out that she was actually one of the key contributors to adjacent user theory. And so for us, what I love about adjacent users and just looking at sequences is just really, it's not just about product market fit. It's actually having multiple product market fits where, okay, you have live streaming at its core where, you know, you see this authentic connection happening between live streamer and viewer. But then you start seeing that there's actually other adjacent opportunities like, okay, cool. Well, virtual gifts and microtransactions is one type of experience, but how about purchasing products online, which is the e-commerce adjacent experience, or another adjacent opportunity, which is really group audio streams. And then when you start thinking about audio and talents and stuff like that, you actually start seeing that, oh, wow, there's actually a demand for a different type of entertainment, which is live events. And so I think that for us as a business, the key thing is to execute from adjacent sequences to gradually grow our business so that it's not just great product market fit for Gen Zs, great product market fit for millennials, but also a great product market fit for every Filipino or someone who actually appreciates Filipino culture globally. And so when looking at trends happening globally, or just even just listening to our users, we do see a lot of opportunities to be a leading social entertainment platform, not just here in the Philippines, but globally.
And I guess from my perspective, to kind of build on Roland's point, there's kind of three, I think it happened kind of from three different vectors, right? One side was, like, as Roland said, kind of this adjacent user kind of discovery process, which is, but I think the way to think about it is, yeah, if let's say 10,000, 20,000 people download Kumu on a given day, maybe the current Kumu and the current like core virtual gifting business model is relevant for maybe 1,000 of those people. Then for another 1,000, 2,000 of those people, if they had seen like a robust e-commerce marketplace, then they might have kind of stayed and found value in that. Another 2,000 or 3,000 people might have found something in gaming or in terms of live events. So it's that process of seeing like who are the people who are downloading Kumu, why, what brought them here, and then where is the gap between where the product currently is and you know what kind of value that they're looking for that we can kind of deliver on if we just build out and expand our product line. So that's one side of it. Second is more from kind of the type of revenue that we're bringing in, which is like it's been driving a lot of growth, it's been powering a lot of livelihoods on the other side, but it is kind of a bit more concentrated than the types of businesses that people are used to, where you have like a small percentage of people. It's not like 20% contributing 80%. It's like a much smaller percentage contributing a very large percentage of the revenue. So I think for us, there's an interest in broadening that. And yeah, that's just kind of the nature of the virtual gifting business model, right? Kind of revenue lines like e-commerce and live events. And the last thing that we haven't really dug into yet, but want to spend more time on, subscriptions, like all of those are more kind of distributed and less concentrated forms of like revenue by nature. And the third is that kind of like ties to that as well, is in terms of our long-term defensibility of being an enduring platform that lasts like a company that lasts like hundreds of years, right? But one of the key parts of that is making Kumu the best place for our creators and for anybody who wants to be a creator to make a living off of Kumu. So from that perspective, we want to be able to provide like more ways for them to earn and sustain themselves, and in a way that's diversified, it's not just reliant on a handful of people, but can be spread out across hundreds or thousands of followers through the kind of live events, live commerce, and possibly subscription type of businesses. So those are kind of the things that made us, with the growth of the core business, it made us really focus on these frontiers as like the next step.
Yeah, this concept of, you know, adjacent users has been brought up a few times already in the past. But when you break down the framework, it really makes sense how you have to focus on the behavior of the audience that you may not be capturing entirely. Because, you know, the core business model for the past 2 years has been so successful. You know, you found the way to onboard creators, and then the virtual gift giving economy has been solid. But to see where that can be taken and how that can be adapted, especially in today's changing climate, is really exciting. And, you know, speaking of exciting, our live e-commerce team has been on a roll recently, especially with Shop Kumu just going live last week. I'm sure it was a very stressful but fulfilling time for Sambi. So I want to get the ball rolling by asking her first, what was the biggest challenge or the biggest challenges of setting up that live e-commerce arm of Kumu?
I guess the biggest challenge is really kind of painting the picture, right? Painting this vision of what the possibility within live stream e-commerce lies, especially ahead in the future for Filipinos, right? Given the fact that live commerce has found so much success in, you know, developed Asia, for example, bring that kind of same behavior and introduce this newfound concept of commerce here in the Philippines to Filipinos. And I think that the number one challenge really is two challenges, actually, I would say. First is, you know, creating that benchmark of what exactly is live commerce and how can Filipinos benefit from this new platform and kind of system of selling. And number two is obviously the whole education aspect of just, you know, not just teaching the streamers or the merchants or the sellers, but also, I guess, showing people the benefits of live stream selling and the benefits of the transaction happening within the live stream portal. There's so many benefits, right? Like, number one is that it's a huge frictionless experience. It's amazing when you really think about it. Like, you mentioned we did officially launch Shop Kumu into the wild this week. And so that was really, really exciting. But what was really exciting was that we had an event with Ninja Van. They did an online bazaar wherein they interviewed, you know, we had DJ Chacha there interviewing the merchants in real time, talking about their products. They, you know, the merchants got to showcase all of the different products from candles to linen sprays to polo shirts. And, you know, people that were watching the stream and bought those products actually got their items on the same day because we were promoting same day delivery. So imagine having that instant gratification along with the very social aspect of that shopping experience, being able to interact with DJ Chacha and the merchant, asking them about their products, getting answers in real time, not having to vet reviews, and then basically purchasing your product and getting it on the same day. It's like, it's very Black Mirror. So I'm pretty excited.
So, you know, you mentioned educating the merchants as well as the consumers about the benefits of live commerce. And that's super important because, you know, on the consumer side, at least, one of those said benefits is like the fact that their concerns can be addressed in like real time. You know, me personally, I don't really shop online because I'm hesitant. Like, what if I get the wrong size, or what if it doesn't fit right, or maybe it just like doesn't look good as it does in pictures. But when there's like someone there selling it to you live, it kind of becomes easier to add it to your cart like right away.
Yeah. Imagine like all of your apprehensions being acknowledged in real time and being, you know, whatever apprehensions you have, like, can I see how the fit of that dress looks like from behind? Or, you know, I'm more of a Morena skin tone. Do you think that lipstick will match my skin tone? And, you know, getting real feedback, authentic feedback. And it's cool because the whole, I guess, you know, the value set of Kumu is really all about authenticity. And it's great that we carry over that same value to commerce as well, wherein, you know, you don't anymore have to worry about shopping for something online, getting it, and it's not what you expected. Like with live stream e-commerce, what you see is exactly what you get, which is the same, I guess, value proposition that our live stream lifestyle live streams have as well, wherein you get to actually meet KOLs and celebrities and get to know them and their real authentic selves, because there are no filters. There are no, like, you know, we're not really brushing up anything. And so I think it's real value nowadays, especially to be able to have a shopping experience that is probably the closest shopping experience to going to the mall and shopping with your friends. It's the most social, most, I guess, authentic and closest digital or online experience you can have.
I feel like that's more beneficial to the merchants though, because, you know, we might just be fueling shopaholics, but hopefully it just lessens their need to like return or refund items that they just bought. Moving on though, you know, Kumu isn't really the first to spearhead live selling. There have been other companies locally and even globally who have tried it as well. So what do you think sets us apart, and how does that help convert maybe future buyers who are still hesitant?
I think that we do live commerce very differently from the way that other apps have been trying to do live commerce here in the Philippines or even just globally. I think that with Kumu, number one is we lead with content and we lead with community. As I mentioned earlier, like, authenticity is in our core value, not just for our lifestyle streamers, but for commerce as well. That's one. Number two is we want to create, you know, that same community building within our commerce portal as well, wherein, you know, merchants can actually build relationships with their, you know, purchasers and buyers, and, you know, build that kind of clout and the kind of community within Kumu. And given the whole COVID-19 situation that we're all dealing with, entrepreneurs all over the Philippines, or even all over the world, are, you know, really itching to have these new platforms that will allow them to reconnect with, you know, their old purchasers pre-COVID. You know, a lot of the relationships have completely just also kind of fallen off the wagon because, obviously, the limited.
Limited.
Hello.
limited internet connection.
I just heard limited internet connection. That's exactly what happened. But yeah, like basically it's a new platform that could actually really help a lot of Filipinos. And we're pretty excited to see, you know, this kind of snowballing into the wild and really empowering entrepreneurs, you know, business owners to truly take charge of, you know, their own businesses and actually putting themselves out there and getting themselves more visible through the Kumu Commerce platform.
So, you know, based on the insights that you shared, Zambi, it actually is really exciting where live selling can go. Again, especially considering like the context of the day, this is probably like the closest thing that shoppers and merchants can get to the way that things were before COVID. And also with relationships like falling off the wagon, like you said, this is another way to kind of build bridges and return that sense of normalcy also. But I specifically like what you said about giving small-time entrepreneurs a space to really take charge of their business, you know, especially since Kumu really leads with content that leaves so many possibilities for live sellers to get their names out there. But yeah, live e-commerce is only getting started, but it's in good hands. And I'm sure in no time, it'll snowball into something huge. And, you know, in line with that, live events is also a future project that has the potential to accomplish what I just mentioned, you know, connecting people, returning a sense of normalcy and all of that. But, you know, Marielle, that's kind of a daunting task to kind of spearhead. But it's also exciting because there are so many places you can take it. But, you know, going back to the whole COVID situation, how do you think it has reshaped or accelerated Kumu's role in traditionally offline events?
Yeah, it is a little daunting, right? But it's really exciting. And I think what's great is the fact that Kumu already has been set up to be a fully virtual platform. And we've already, you know, built our community and people are engaged, people feel connected. And, you know, it's not just the Filipinos in the Philippines, but also global Filipinos. And I think the fact that that has been built already and established before even deciding to have a live events department already, you know, set the stage for live events. And I think what's happening now for offline events is like there's a challenge for these companies, for these events to achieve the same goals and to basically have that same sense of experience of having live events in person. You know, that's something that we have to recreate. But I think what's great is that already on Kumu now, even without live events launching yet, we already have so many artists, community artists, even artists from different agencies, even mainstream artists, big artists who are already having shows and concerts on Kumu now, which is great. So I think what we can do now with live events is just really produce good content along with the great technology that we already have, create, you know, immersive and unique experiences for our upcoming events. So I think we just have to continue with our sense of community and belongingness and just to provide what we've been providing. But I guess more on steroids now once we really launch live events.
Yeah, I think what you said is really true. You know, that even before COVID, Kumu already had this platform that like promoted a diverse range of talent. And there were already artists who were used to going live like offline who now suddenly shifted to the virtual space. And so I guess Kumu didn't really recreate that experience, but instead like reinvented events by also giving creators the opportunity to go online. But you know, even then, post-COVID, there might be some difficulty sustaining that, specifically with events like, for example, like conferences, forums, and so on. So, you know, what are ways that that can be mitigated to make sure that even after COVID and all of that, live online events still flourish?
I think, you know, through research and what I've been observing recently, even post-COVID, we will see a world where offline and online events will coexist. There will be hybrid events. And actually just the other day I was watching, because you know how Taiwan has been COVID-free for the past 200 days already. So they already actually had a live concert, so Ultra. But Ultra was also live streamed to the world at the same time while they had an in-person event. And I know in Korea, they're already going to be doing live concerts that will also be live streamed. So I think, you know, there will be hybrid events even far after COVID, just because through research, you know, people will still be scared to go out and travel. And I think what's great is that virtual event technology is really advancing. You know, there's holographics, virtual reality, social media live streaming. So I think if we really, really focus on that and focus on the technology, we can still really make this into a good business, just because virtual events, you know, are budget friendly. It creates less hassles for the producers, for the talent. Also, location and travel won't be a problem anymore. So we won't just reach people within your area, but also people all over the world. So I think, you know, there's still a lot of opportunity even post-COVID. And just as long as if we continue as a company to keep innovating and keep providing, you know, the good content that we're already providing, I think that we will pivot with the times even after post-COVID.
Yeah, you know, you make a good point also about the international events, because since Kumu is really global, you know, that's a huge opportunity to bring events abroad to people here in the Philippines. And you won't only be connecting the Filipino community, but like the whole international community. And also, like, you're right, even just through innovation, Kumu can kind of level it up to keep people engaged in a whole new way. You know, I can just like imagine people like raving in their rooms, watching a concert like through VR or like holographs or something. I really wouldn't put it past Kumu to present something crazy and innovative in maybe like the next 2 or 3 years if we're lucky. But, you know, so now after talking to Sambi and Marielle, it's time to put Dana on the hot seat, because, you know, being part of the strategy team, she will pretty much call all the shots for the future of Kumu, and like the fate of the future projects is in her hand. But, you know, like in all seriousness, given that there are really so many different doors that Kumu can go through, how do you prioritize, or like how do you know what to focus on and what opportunity to capitalize on, especially given that the climate that we're in now? You know, as much as we want to do everything at once, there's only so much we can do from home, you know, working remotely and also with fundraising. So, like, what's your game plan for prioritizing between these different pathways for the future of Kumu?
You know, I think one way that I think about it, if we were to, like, apply a framework to how we're thinking about things, and similar to what Rexy brought up earlier, I think you can look at it like the three C's. I'm big on, like, acronyms and frameworks. So, for example, it would be for us, like, looking at the company, our consumers, and then our competitors, right? So, like, let's say, starting with the company, all the things that Rexy, Sambi, and Marielle already mentioned that are our strengths. So starting with, like, live content, which eventually became live commerce, and then live events, and then live gaming, and the evolutions of that strength, as well as wrapping the community moat around it. And I like that you use global, never heard of that. So wrapping the global community around that strength, right? And then the microtransaction that sort of fuels the monetization within each of these. And then further on top of that, the team, like all the rock stars on this call and everyone else that's been on the other episodes, right? Like, that's also another strength. And then lastly, on the company strengths or partnerships. So who do we have on the board, or who do we have as sort of shareholders and investors, and how they're really able to accelerate and I guess fund the dreams that we have for Kumu. And then the second, like what Rexy mentioned earlier, looking at our consumers, you know, who are they? What do they spend their time on? What type of content do they consume? And eventually, like, how do they like to spend the money that they have? And we look at that in many levels too, right? Like initially you have like your baseline viewers, and then the adjacent users that we talked about earlier, and the evolutions of those, like the power users and the power payers, you know, streamers who make full-time incomes on Kumu, and then users who spend 40 to 60 hours just hanging out with each other, as well as the community and like the teams and the families that all sort of found themselves and their homes here on Kumu. And then the last C, like looking at competitors, like if you think of, I guess, like the Instagram story, right? When Snapchat became a threat, they launched stories, and then now they have like reels to counter TikTok. And I guess it's no secret that some products are kind of built in response to, or like in defense, being proactive or reactive to what's happening around them. And so the way I think of it, like, is if we have all these three C's in our backpack, kind of to put it as a metaphor. And then you can sort of look at whether you want to go further down vertically. And so add to what else would be the evolution after live streaming and live commerce and live events and things like, if we look at our company strengths, oh, there's a lot of microtransactions. Could we go down the vertical of payments? Or if we look at the consumers, right, we're seeing that people are willing to pay for, or they could be willing to pay for cool content, especially with all the new partnerships that we have with like PBB and maybe concerts, right, and all the things that Marielle's working on. If they begin to start showing us that they're willing to splurge on that, would it be something like subscriptions that we look at? And then looking also at like, what does that look like in this, in the local Philippine setting, as well as regional and global, I guess, competitors or peers? Is there anyone that's doing something like this? And maybe we'd be the first, right? And so like, you could go down that path for the three C's vertically or even horizontally, right, to other markets. And so I guess right now we're kind of at the crossroads of that. It's really exciting times, as everyone mentioned. And I think everyone in here on the call and for the past couple of weeks have all been just thinking about what that looks like for us 2021 onwards, especially hopefully with new funding.
I think, you know, Kumu's strength lies in the fact that it really listens, and not just to its consumers, but really to all stakeholders involved. Like you mentioned, Dana, looking at it through that three C's framework, you know, company, consumers, and competitors, Kumu is really in tune with what they already have and what they can do with what they have. So, you know, as was mentioned, in terms of what's going on in the company, there's already this platform that has supported live streaming, and then taking that further to commerce and events is like the logical next step. And then also like factoring in another strength of the organization being community-centered and how that can be harnessed for like future developments. But, you know, also by like listening to consumers and competitors, Kumu is able to find the gaps and consistently adapt to these external forces, which is also like an added advantage. You know, so like putting that all together, hopefully it'll make it less daunting, like moving forward, having to discern what groundbreaking pursuit Kumu will take on next. But you know, we actually have to close off this episode. And so to end things, I want to ask, what insights from Kumu's past life will help you chart its future?
Wow. You know, for us, what's really interesting as a family, you know, as a company, you know, we're actually at the very end stages of a really historic round, not just for Kumu, but for the Philippine tech ecosystem, which is what a lot of people collectively call a Series B round. Where, you know, a lot of times, you remember we were talking about fundraising in an earlier episode where like seed funding is basically investing in the founder, to Series A is investing in the traction, and Series B is really investing in the growth or in the business model or really business model market fit. And, you know, for Kumu to be in a position to close such a historic round does point to this underlying sense of excitement for the entire team that we're actually onto something really special. And it's really humbling, because for us, it all comes down to just creating a safe and authentic space of community for people who just love, you know, and enjoy and embrace Filipino culture all around the world. And whether it's, you know, in Metro Manila, to, you know, all our brothers and sisters who are just struggling from the floods and the typhoon in Marikina, to as north, far north as Cagayan, to just feeling and sensing and receiving the just source of support from two types of global Filipinos, right? You have our overseas Filipino heroes in Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, and the Middle East, who are sending money back home with the hopes of reuniting with their family, to, you know, to the brave souls who have actually migrated to other countries to support their parents and siblings, where you see that in places like Australia or Canada, the US and the UK. And it's just a really interesting dynamic from a geolinguistic level, that it's not just Tagalog or English, but Bisaya to Bicolano, Ilocano, Kampampangan. And for us to really strike at the very moment that, you know, in the midst of a global pandemic, on top of the fact that, you know, digital transformation is taking root in one of the fastest growing economies in the world. But, you know, unfortunately, there's some issues going on now. it's just, wow. You know, for us, I think that the most important thing is to just keep our ears open, right? We have two ears, and there's something really beautiful about just listening to our community and to build something of value that really brings in this sense of, you know, we'll probably talk about this in a different episode, but we talk about metrics. And what I'm really proud about Kumu is this whole metric that we're internally calling Mahal. And really the fact that, I mean, it is kind of funny that Mahal means love and expensive, but the underlying, again, implication there is that, wow, Kumu as a company's core metric is based on something around love, which really underscores the authentic connection part about what Kumu's makes is so special. But the fact that Mahal also means expensive is driving that metric to building a sustainable business that could generate enough revenue to support this community. And the more I reflect on that, and the more I look at the team and this family that we put together, whether we call ourselves Avengers or X-Men or whatever the case may be, you know, I think the most important thing is just for me to really kind of get out of the way of this beautiful movement that's happening and to just support, encourage, and do the best I can to really enjoy and be a part of it. You know, I guess the word is stewardship, is to just to be a good steward about the whole thing. But yeah, no, I just think it's just a really fun time. And I can only imagine what, you know, the next 2 years could look at. I mean, can y'all believe that we're only 2 years old, right? Like, that was something that one of our key investors had told us, is like, you know, we keep on forgetting that you guys are 2 years old. And it really put things into perspective of what a special time this is. And so if this is what we can accomplish in 24 months, can you imagine what we could be doing in the next 24? So, yeah, I don't know. That's just, sorry, I'm just rambling, but yeah. Did y'all hear any of that or no?
I totally heard.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think I shed a tear there.
I was like,
you said everything we wanted to say.
Slow clapping.
I don't know. I mean, this is just so much. It's so cool, you know. And what I love about it too is just we just have this culture where let's have fun with it, right? Let's not take ourselves too seriously, but let's take the mission seriously. And I think that as long as we stick to that, it's I'm just humbled and really excited. So I just love you all. So I don't know, whoever else wants to.
No, yeah. I mean, I guess just to add to that, like, I mean, it's really a humbling experience because it is rather mind-blowing how much we've been able to accomplish in such short amount of time. Like even since, I mean, even me just seeing everything just kind of unfold before my eyes, and how quick we are able to scale and just also keep up with that rate of scale is also quite honestly such a crazy feat that sometimes when I take a step back, I'm just like, wow. But I think that, you know, definitely we attribute that to, I think, the fantastic talent that we have in Kumu. And yeah, it's a great honor to be part of this, I guess, you know, this team of superheroes, as we call ourselves, right? And yeah, it's just been great to see the power of, you know, Filipino talent in tech and just kind of coming together and rallying together and, you know, really, really proving to the world that we really are of a global standard when it comes to Filipino tech talent. So that's huge for me. That's a huge achievement for me, and it's very humbling indeed.
To add to what Sambi said, you know, coming from past companies that are from Singapore and the US, you know, we were used to a different type of environment. But when I joined Kumu, I was really mind blown by how amazing and how hardworking and how fast the company has grown over the past 2 years. It really amazes me almost every day just thinking like, wow, this company is growing so much by the day. And it's really a humbling experience. things. And I think as long as we stick to our values, as long as we stick to our mission, as long as we always keep our community, you know, happy and we add value to them, I think that, you know, the next 2 years will be, yeah, more than a roller coaster ride. So I'm super duper excited and I really can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree with these sentiments. If you consider what Kumu's already accomplished, it becomes so hard to predict, you know, what can come next. But as was mentioned, the rate of growth has been so insane and that's happened in many different directions. So if you kind of step back, it's unbelievable. But, you know, going back to what Roland mentioned about Mahal being the kind of key metric, you know, when you have a word that encompasses your business model or your organization, it's kind of like validation that it's meant to be. But it always comes back to these values of, you know, authenticity and being a welcoming space that just really promotes love. And you know, that metric again suggests that. So, you know, for as long as Kumu is committed to really being a platform that like focuses on those things, then there's no doubt that users, both old and new, will always be drawn to the app and the company, like regardless of what comes next. But you know, with that, we actually have to close this episode. I'd like to thank all of you for sharing your insights. And of course, thanks to the listeners for tuning in. We don't really know yet when we'll be coming back for a third installment, but we hope you stay tuned. In the meantime, you should download the Kumu app and watch everything we just talked about unfold right before your eyes. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Kumu Kwentuhan. We hope you stick around for season 3, where you'll hear more crazy stories from the team at Kumu. Check us out at kumu.ph and don't forget to download the Kumu app on the Google Play Store, App Store, and Huawei App Gallery.